ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 110 of the report, man. Yeah, it's been a week. and we back at it, back here on the mic, man. Got some shit to talk to y'all about, right? Got some stuff to talk about. Yeah, man, I got a few random thoughts to get into, man. I got some things to talk about politically. I got some things to talk about pop culturally. We just gonna get right into it, man. Got to just dive right into it. But before I do, as is customary, before I do, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemails. And of course, I'll play those voicemails here on the show and respond to you here on the show as well. You can also email the show at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Of course, I'll play those I will read those emails, and of course, I will read those emails here and respond to them here live on the show as well. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so you can go ahead, follow me there. We could chop it up throughout the week, man. Some people get pissed off with me. Some people don't, just like Jason Whitlock today. but yeah, man, we could do that. On Twitter and on Instagram, Mr_Span. Also, you can subscribe to the Span Report on Spreecast, right? Because I do these shows. I said do again. I do these shows live on Spreecast. So you can subscribe to the Span Report on Spreecast. You can watch the shows live while I do them. You can participate in the chat. You can send me questions that way as well. It's a way to interact with the listeners and also be a part of the show, man. So definitely go over to the Spreecast and type in the Span Report. I should come up. And subscribe to the Span Report. You can get all of the updates as to when I'm going live and things like that. Those will be sent to you through your email address. So yeah, man, go ahead and subscribe to the Span Report on Spreecast, along with subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever podcast app you're using, whether that be Podomatic, I'm not on Podomatic, and I'm not on SoundCloud, but you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podcast Addict, Pocket Cast, Podbean, Last FM, TuneIn Radio, a lot of different ways you can get the Span Report podcast, man. Check out the Span Report as any way you can. And yeah, man, I'm everywhere pretty much, except for those few places where I'm just not, right? Yeah, man. Also, man, you can go to the iTunes and Stitcher and leave a 5-star review, man. Leave a 5-star review. It helps pass the word around about the show. Let people know what it is you're thinking about the show. It helps the show grow. And it's your way of putting on, man. It's really appreciated for all of you guys who do that. Also, it's very much appreciated for you guys who go to thespanreport.com and hit that donate tab. And you can donate to thespanreport.com by hitting that donate tab. And you can give as much as you want, as often as you want, on the donate tab as well. So if you want to give once a week or once a month, if you want to give $5, $10, $1, whatever you can do to help the Span Report keep doing this thing, it's very much appreciated. So yeah, man, go to thespanreport.com and donate to the show as well. And for all of your podcast needs, man, especially when it comes to the Span Report, go to thespanreport.com, man. All of the videos that I use are available at thespanreport.com. You can vote in the polls at thespanreport.com. You can leave comments at thespanreport.com. You can do everything just about at thespanreport.com, man. And yeah, that's it. See how quick we got through that? Yeah, man. There's been some interesting things going on over the course of the week. And I'm going to speak to some personal shit a little bit on this show as well. But yeah, man, we got some things that are going on with Bill Clinton and Black Lives Matter. We got Ray Lewis talking on Black Lives Matter. So, of course, I'm going to speak to both of those instances. The Walking Dead managed to piss a lot of folks off over the last week or so. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Bomani Jones, man, the homie Bomani Jones over at over on ESPN caused a bit of a stir in the social media sphere. So we're going to talk a bit about that, man. And, of course, I got an ass hat. Wait, I'm sorry. No ass hat of the week this week. We don't have an ass hat, but we do have a champ of the week this week. So, yeah, we're going to get into all of that, right? We're going to get into all of that. But, yeah, I got these random thoughts, right? And I'm gonna just go right in ahead and get into this, right? But the these random thoughts, right? Like, have any of you guys ever, like, especially for my fellas, right? Have any of you guys ever inadvertently blocked another dude while he was shooting his shot? Right, you weren't trying to block his shot, but you kind of did, and you didn't know it, right? So I had a situation this week, right? A friend of mine from like school, she asked about cell phones, right? And any of you guys who follow me on Twitter or Instagram—I'm sorry, not on Twitter, but on my on Facebook—you guys know cell phone and cell phone technology and shit. That's kind of my thing. I'm kind of really into that. I'm a real phone enthusiast, so to speak, right? Especially when we're talking about like Android and the platform as a platform and everything else. I'm kind of an enthusiast when it comes to shit like that, right? So a friend of mine posted a status about whether or not, you know, what the difference is between getting a phone on a carrier contract or just getting a phone prepaid, like, and having a prepaid service, and why, you know, which one was cheaper, and like sort of the nuances behind that, and why folks choose to get a contract phone as opposed to a prepaid phone or whatever, right? So I was kind of explaining to her that, like, for a lot of people, you know, the prepaid option is just cheaper, right? You know, you can buy the phone you can buy the phone outright up front. And then the overall cost of the service doesn't cost you as much. And if you don't use the service for more than that month, and then they just cut the phone off. And if you want to re-up, you could. Whereas with the cell phone, you know, with the carrier, if you get a contract, you're tied to these people for 2 years. If you decide you don't want to be with these people for the duration of that contract, then they hit you with an early termination fee. They're billing you for the month that you may or may not be using. You'll walk away from a cell phone contract owing maybe $700 to $800 if you just kind of walked away from it, right? So there's things like that. But one of the things I was kind of trying to tell her, we were talking about unlocked phones, right? And I don't want to get bogged down into the details of a lot of the shit, but we were talking about unlocked phones, right? And I am a person who has bought my share of unlocked phones, like just straight up, straight retail price. Didn't go through the carrier and get the phone that way. I paid what that phone cost. And that phone could have been like, I bought an HTC One at one point. That shit was $700. I bought many of my Nexus phones. You couldn't buy those Nexus phones in the store. You had to either get them through Google, order them through Google, or if you were lucky, like T-Mobile for at one point, they had the Nexus phones available at the Nexus 4 was available on T-Mobile, and the I believe the Nexus 6 maybe, yeah. I believe those phones were available on T-Mobile at one point, but for the most part, you had to buy those phones completely, utterly unsubsidized. You had to come out of pocket for those phones. And I did that, right? Because I really liked those phones. So I'm trying to explain to her, like, after, you know, you have a contract and you fulfill the contract, you can have the phone that you had with that carrier unlocked. And you can take that phone to whatever carrier you want to if the technology is compatible. So if you got a GSM phone, which is T-Mobile and AT&T, you may be good. Or if you got a CDMA phone, which is Verizon and Sprint, then you may be locked into that. Unless, of course, that phone has capabilities with all of them, right? I know I'm losing a lot of y'all with that. But I'm talking to her about this, right? And so there's this one cat in this this Facebook thread, and he's telling her that buying unlocked phones is illegal. Right? Like, it's illegal, because she's asking, is it legal or not? And I'm basically just saying, like, nah, dude, it's not illegal. It's perfectly legal. You know, you can do this. It's doable. Like, I've done this repeatedly. There's nothing illegal about it. And he's just like, I'm talking to the female. Why are you talking to me? I'm talking to the female. And I'm like, whoa, player. I'm just trying to make sure that we have the correct information going out. Right? And it was then that I realized that while he was talking, because we were both talking to her at the same time, but while he was talking to her, he was trying to impress her with whatever knowledge he thought he had about cell phones. I'm really just trying to get her the right information. I ain't got no desires to try to get at her like that. He's trying, right? So at that moment, I'm just like, okay, I see what this is. I'm gonna just go ahead and back up. Hey, homie, hit me up if you got any questions about these phones, right? And she did. And she did. But it was funny, man, like having that interaction where you're trying to give somebody some information, not knowing that you're stepping on somebody else because they're trying to shoot their shot. Now, again, and I don't know if I necessarily explained this all the way through the way I probably should have. But the thing of it was that, you know, he was trying to tell her that he was really trying to impress her with the fact that, hey, I move phones by the 18 wheeler load. OK, so we know you drive trucks, but that doesn't necessarily mean you know how these phones work. And I'm trying to explain how these phones work. And if any of you guys, like I said, if any of you guys follow me on my social media, especially on Facebook, yeah, cell phone shit is kind of my thing. I talk about them a lot, you know, or I'm like the tech support dude in my family when it comes to phones. And sometimes even at work, I got guys asking me about phones at work and I don't know what the fuck they talking about. And to be quite honest with you, sometimes really all it takes is a Google search to find out what you really want to know. But instead of doing that, a lot of folks come to me. Right. So, yeah, man, it was just weird to like be trying to give off some information, like some factual information, and to have somebody get upset because you're trying to correct some wrong information. And they thinking like, hey, I'm talking to the female. I ain't even talking to you. Why you being so antsy? Like, hold on, dog. This ain't what you think it is. Right. But if you're shooting your shot right now about these cell phones, then by all means, player, go ahead. Have at it, man. I ain't the one to block, right? Even though I know she got a boyfriend or whatever, I ain't the one to block, man. Whatever. Do your thing, man. Hey, homie, if you want to get to, you want some information about these phones, hit me up. And of course, like I said, she did. She got an unlocked iPhone 4 for her son, and she wanted to figure out if she could use it on somebody else's service. That's pretty much what it was, right? That's pretty much what it was. But inadvertently blocking somebody's shot. Let me know if you've ever run into any situations like that, fellas. Real talk. Another thing kind of happened, man, today, actually. It was one of those things where I found out my daughter is really growing up. Excuse me. And it happened like this, right? So, of course, like, I work during the week, and my daughter comes through on the weekends, you know. And today, as a matter of fact, my daughter texts me this morning, and she's like, Dad, can I come over today? I want to chill out. And I'm like, okay, baby, that's fine. As soon as I get finished with the show, I'll come pick you up, right? And so my daughter is just like, you know, she's 13. She's out with her friends a lot lately. And she's getting to the point where she's just like, she's a teenager now. She wants to socialize. She wants to, you know, be in the mix with her people. And I ain't got no, I didn't realize I had a problem with this. Like, I didn't realize that until today, excuse me, when my daughter actually said, you know what, Daddy, never mind. I'm going to go out with my friend Genesis. We going to the movies. And shit kind of hurt my feelings, man. Kind of hurt my feelings. Like, and it was like, I wasn't ready for it. I think that's what it was. I simply was not ready for the fact that my daughter is growing up to the point where, you know what, spending time with Dad ain't necessarily the most thing, the highest thing on her priority list, right? And it makes you think about, especially as a father, you know, who isn't necessarily in the physical presence or the day-to-day, it makes you think about every time you may have told your kids, man, that like, hey, you know, I'm a little bit busy, baby. I got something to do. When I get a chance, I'm a shoot by there and we going to do something. And every time you may have broken a promise, you know, or not been able to come through in the ways in which, you know, you may have told your kids you wanted to be able to, or, just not being able to come through, period. It makes you think about those things, man. When your kids are looking at you like, hey, man, you know what, Pops? I don't know if I really want to kick it with you today. I'm going to go out with my friends. And, yeah, that's it. See you later. Right? So, yeah, man, it made me think about that, man. Like, you know, my daughter's growing up and kind of hurt my feelings that she didn't want to kick it with me today. Now I got to find something to do later on. Right? Because I had totally planned on spending the rest of the day with my daughter, but she don't want to kick it with me today. And it's hurting my feelings, man. I'm feeling like somebody kicked my puppy. Because my daughter wants to go to the movies with her friends, man. And it just made me remember, like, when she was little, man. Like, I remember when she was little and, like, how... I remember we used to, like, she used to come by my place and she would fall asleep. We would watch kiddie movies and shit. She would fall asleep on the couch and I would pick her up and take her and put her in the bed only for her to get up as I'm at my computer doing a little bit of work or something and walk out to where I'm at, get up in my lap and fall right back to sleep. You know, I remember shit like that. You know, getting all nostalgic and whatnot. Yeah, man. But yeah, my daughter's growing up and it's kind of fucking with me, right? It's kind of fucking with me. Yeah, man. Another thing, man. I've been kind of going through it. And I haven't really spoken a hell of a lot about it to a whole lot of people. But your man Spam been kind of going through it, especially at work, man. I've been like, I've been going through a bit of a transition. Where I'm dealing with some folks that, you know, don't necessarily, I'm working with people who like cutting corners, right? And in my line of work, cutting corners is just not something that, it's just not something you do. Like, cutting corners could involve somebody losing their life. And I don't want to over-dramatize that, but when you work with live gas, and you do something that can cause a leak to where someone can lose a home by the home blowing up or where someone can be affected by carbon monoxide poisoning and you could have prevented it. Cutting corners is just not something that I'm a big fan of when it comes to my job, right? And I've been dealing with the fact that I'm not an old guy in my job, right? Like, I've been doing this whole pipe fitter, pipe laying thing for about 5 years now. As a matter of fact, it'll be 5 years on September 22nd. I'll have my 5 years in this particular position, right? And I'm one of the younger people on my crew. Now, I'm on a crew with about, with some guys who have been, you know, they've been doing this job for about 20 years. They've been doing it. Some of them 20, some of them 30 years, and they've been doing it for a while, but, the ways in which they are used to working is a little bit different in the ways in which I've learned this job. Right. So, I've said it before, man, we've been moving like, you know, gas meters outside of the homes and stuff like that. We work at a pretty accelerated pace, at least at my station. We work at a pretty accelerated pace and I'm used to just getting up, going out and going to get it. Like from 7:30 to 4 o'clock, I'm busting my ass. I'm trying to go out here. I'm trying to get it because not only am I getting paid my regular salary, but I got bonus money that's also being thrown my way for, you know, for the month, if we have, you know, pretty damn good production, I get bonuses on top of that. So I'm like, yo, let me go out here, bust my ass from 7:30 to 4 and I can get it. Whereas now I got these guys who are used to not doing as much work as we are used to at this station. And they're used to just saying, hey, you know what, whatever extra monies we'll get it on overtime. And I'm like, I'm not knocking you for doing the overtime, but if I can get this money and not do the overtime, damn it, I'm gonna do this work and not do the overtime, right? And I'm gonna still get this money. But I noticed some things where, like, you started seeing some of the things with, like, some of these old tricks that folks use, and you looking at, you know, the way in which you were taught, they were like, hey, man, you're not supposed to do it that way. And you looking like, okay, why are you doing that? Yeah, that's not how we're supposed to do that, right? But I'm the young guy, right? You know, it's like one of those things where, like, you're a young guy, you were taught a certain way, and it's worked, right? You've seen this work, and you've seen you not have to go back over, you know, you've seen you not have to go back and do this work over again because you did it right the first time. You've seen where, you know, this work has allowed you to make a pretty damn good living for your family, and It's been pretty damn good. Like I said, it's been pretty good for the five years I've been doing it, right? But when you work with guys who've been there 30 years, they're not trying to hear from a dude who's only been doing it five that what they're doing is wrong, right? And one of the things that I don't want to end up doing is becoming one of those dudes who can't be coached, But at the same time, if I see something that is wrong, I don't want to take that in and know it's a bad habit either. Right. So it's that, like, that catch 22 where you see some guys doing some hack shit and you don't want to do hack shit. You want to do shit the right way. And so I've been dealing with this whole thing of trying to do my job the right way without being influenced by some of these older dudes who have developed so many bad habits over the years. Right. And it's been tough. It's been tough. Well, for one, I'm not getting any bonus money anymore because we're working at a fucking slower pace. So I'm a little irritated about that. But then two is when you are used to doing things a certain way and then someone else tries to retrain you after you've been doing this shit for 5 years and you've been functioning well with this way, and somebody tries to, I don't know, like they try to re-engineer what you are doing or whatever. It's a bit irritating too. And another thing, man, like when you've been doing this, or better yet, when you're somebody of my age, right? I'm 35 years old and you got most of your coworkers who are like in their 40s and 50s and they're looking at you like you're the young buck and they're talking to you like a young buck. That shit can be irritating, especially when I'm like the oldest brother to them and all my siblings. Like I'm married and I have a kid of my own. Like, when you have to start talking to people like, hey man, I'm a married man with kids. Your kids ain't here. You need to check that shit. Right? I've been dealing with shit like that at work. Like, and I'm trying to I've been trying not to blow the fuck up at people at the job. But yeah, man, I've been kind of dealing with that shit. I've been kind of dealing with that. Another thing too, man, like I'm a union, you know, my job is a union position. And I'm trying to be careful with a lot of shit that I say about this because, again, this is my livelihood, right? So, and I have to get this shit off my chest. So, when you're in like a setting where you're talking with your union brethren and your union, you know, just you and the union or whatever, you hash a lot of little issues out, right? And one of the things that kind of came up in a union meeting was about snitching, right? Union brothers and sisters talking about snitching and what you shouldn't and should be saying to management about certain things. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of take issue with as a union brother is this idea of snitching and whether or not you should be talking to management about X, Y, and Z, right? But my position is you as a union person should not be putting your union brother or sister in a position to where they would have to snitch on you. Right. So there was a problem with, you know, folks stealing copper out of old assemblies. I don't know who has gotten caught doing it. I've heard people getting caught doing it. And folks were like, well, yeah, you know, people snitching about that. Like, well, you know what? If you weren't stealing the copper, people wouldn't have to snitch on you. And you make pretty good money on the job as it is. Why take the risk of stealing and lose the job and then put somebody else in the position to where they're being pulled in the office and they're getting told like, hey, either you let us know who this person is, who's stealing this copper, or your ass is out of a job. Why would you put your union brother or sister in a position to have to be where there's like, is either you or them, right? Why would you do that to your union brother or sister? Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you do hack work and try to look at one of your younger employees or one of the people who are one of your younger coworkers and try to shame them into doing shit the way that you do it? Because, of course, to some degree, a lot of it is, you know, your shit is hack and you don't want nobody showing you up. You know, yeah, man, like I've been dealing with that. I've been dealing like this. This has been kind of like heavy on me the last few weeks, man. Like, I've been stressing. Your man Spam been stressing. As much as I haven't spoken to a lot of the shit on the show, man. Yeah, I've been stressing about a lot of shit work related that I really shouldn't have to, man. Whether it's dealing with older employees who don't want to fucking listen to the ways in which the job has sort of changed from when they began, to, you know, coworkers who are doing some unscrupulous things, worried about whether or not they're going to get caught and try to shame you if they get caught or not. You know, like, I've been dealing with that. And so, personally, Like, I haven't said anything to anybody who matters, except for that one time where I did have a blow up at the job, right? Like, I did have to blow up at this one guy at the job, and that was one of those pull span and this other guy into a meeting with the supervisor, and we got to hash this out. And it just resulted in me and that guy don't click. We can't work together, and that dude has been moved somewhere else, so I'm cool with that. But yeah, man, that was just one of those things, man. I've been dealing with a little stresses at the job, man. And I know it's kind of like everybody's like, well, you know, everybody deals with their shit. But that's been one of the things that's been on my mind as of late, man. And yeah. Another thing on a happier note is the Animaniacs are coming back, man. As a matter of fact, all episodes of the Animaniacs are going to be on Netflix. As I don't exactly remember how many episodes of the Animaniacs are going to be on Netflix, but the show is back, and it was one of my favorite cartoons growing up, and I'm happy to see that shit back. As a matter of fact, it's time for Animaniacs, and we're saying it to the max, so just sit back and relax, you'll laugh. Join the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sisters on. Just for fun, we run around the Warner movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught. But we break loose and bend the goose, and now you know the plot. We're Animaniacs. Dog is cute and Yakko yaps. Wacko packs away the snacks while Bill Clinton plays the sax. We're Animaniacs. We Pinky and the Brain who want to rule the universe. Put feathers flock together, Slappy whacks them with her purse. Buttons chases Mindy. They are back on Netflix, and I can't wait to like binge watch that shit over the weekend. As a matter of fact, that's kind of what I plan on doing with my daughter today. Just introducing her to some of the shit that I used to watch, kind of like how my mama introduced me to Heidi. I don't know if she would have, I don't know if my baby would have actually connected with the Animaniacs in the ways in which I did. But yeah, man, that shit's coming back, and I'm excited about it. Can't wait to watch that shit. And yeah, I'm going to do that probably when I get finished with this, right? excuse me. All right, now. Okay, enough of the personal shit, right? The Walking Dead happened this week. The season finale of season 6. And it was the introduction of the character Negan. And you know what? I missed the first half hour of this show, right? Because I was in Saginaw with my wife, going to see the in-laws. And I drove home, got home like half an hour after the show had started. I had missed a lot, or at least I haven't had a chance to watch it again. But a lot of folks said I really didn't miss a whole hell of a lot. But I did watch the last hour of the show. And I'm going to say this, man. I'm not as upset as I was. Like, I'm not as upset with this ending as I was with what happened with Glenn earlier in the season, right? I thought what happened with Glenn was some totally hack shit. I thought it was total bullshit. I thought it was a really cheap tactic, and you fuck with the fans in a way that was totally unnecessary. But I continued watching, right? So in watching the show, I realized that, hey, this is some bullshit that they're capable of. And so, like, yeah, I mean, I watched this and I saw the ending, the cliffhanger in which they didn't show who died at the end. And, of course, I have, you know, I have a person with whom I would have loved to have seen die in the end. And that would have been Glenn. For all of you who were listening to this show, I really would have hoped it would have been Glenn because of that fuck ass shit that they pulled earlier in the year. But the fact that they left that hanging out there in the air for the next, 6 months, you're going to be talking about this shit for the next 6 months. Like, that's the thing, man. Like, as much as people are upset about what happened with The Walking Dead and that cliffhanger, they're going to be talking about this for a while. People are already coming up with so many different theories as to who they believe was killed in that particular moment. I've seen so many different articles about how many fans are pissed off and how many theories there are about, you know, who was killed, and people are slowing down the audio and examining it to the last frame. And it's like, yo, man, you ain't gonna know until they do something in start on the start of season 7. And so I think with the Glenn thing, it kind of prepared you for some of this fuck shit. Like, make no mistake, I think it was a cheap tactic to keep people talking, but guess what? It's got people talking. So I'm being aware of what they did prior to this kind of prepared you for this moment, right? Like, if you were pissed off about that, then this right here should have been like, you know what, okay, they've set a precedent for this shit now, right? So I'm not as upset. I kind of hope it's Glenn. It may not necessarily be Glenn, because you know, I read the comics, and this show hasn't necessarily followed the comics to a T. Some of the characters that are on the show now didn't even exist in the comics. Some of the characters who are alive now are dead in the comics. Some of the relationships that are happening in the show were with other characters who were dead in the comics, right? So, like, there's so many different things that are different about this show than they are with the comic book. And so for a lot of the comic book readers, yeah, I know a lot of them are a little bit put off. But at the end of the day, man, they're two, even though they're of the same world, they're sort of like two separate entities, so to speak. Like, the show is doing its own thing. And I think that's what keeps the show fresh. I think that's what keeps the show unpredictable. And it's so unpredictable that people are mad about what's going on with Glenn. I mean, I'm sorry, what's going on with this cliffhanger. But yeah, man, I'm not upset. I know a lot of people are. I'm going to have a poll on thespanreport.com to see exactly how many of y'all are talking about not watching the show no more, because I've seen people say that they weren't going to watch the show anymore. But yeah, man, The Walking Dead, hell of a cliffhanger. Hell of a cliffhanger. I would prefer they show who the fuck they was and killed at the end, but hey, I'm not a showrunner, and they've shown us prior to that they have this ability to kind of pull out a ploy like this. So yeah, man, I'm not upset. I'm not even surprised anymore. I'm kind of watching the show and enjoying it as it comes along. And I'm just glad Fear the Walking Dead starts up this week. So I'm going to be watching that as well, right? Yeah, man. But yeah, that happened, right? So moving on. Bill Clinton kind of stepped in it this week. He was being there were protesters who were heckling him at a Hillary Clinton rally. I believe it was in Philadelphia. I'm not sure exactly where the rally was, right? But there was a rally for Hillary Clinton, and there were protesters who were reminding Bill Clinton that of the results of his signing of the 1994 crime bill, right? And so I'm going to play a little bit of the audio of that exchange here.
See these other signs? This is what's the matter. I don't know how you would characterize the gang leaders who got 13-year-old kids hopped up on crack and sent them out onto the street to murder other African-American children. Maybe you thought they were good citizens. She didn't. She didn't. You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter. Tell the truth. You are defending the people who caused young people to go out and take guns. There was a 13-year-old girl in Washington, D.C. who was planting her own photos. How would you do it? Now, look at this other one. Look at this. That's not true. Now, let's talk about the other thing. They say the welfare reform bill increased poverty. Then why do we have the largest drop in African-American poverty in history?
All right, that's just a clip of what Bill Clinton had to say to Black Lives Matter protesters during the Hillary Clinton campaign rally, right? Now, you know, one of the things that I think really has to, you know, be understood is that, like, while Bill Clinton was talking in that particular moment, Bill Clinton was being, his pride was being hurt, right? When you think about it, this 1994 crime bill is being one of the things that is being held over the neck of Hillary Clinton because of her support of the bill. Bernie Sanders supporters, although they hate to admit it, voted for the bill. You know what I mean? So, and these are things that we've seen the we've seen the results of when it comes to mass incarceration rates. When we see the disparities between crack cocaine and powder cocaine, and how those sentencing disparities, disproportionately affected people of color. That's what it was. Disproportionately affected people of color. When you see the results of that. What's happening now is he has to take responsibility for it, and he doesn't necessarily want to take the responsibility of the negative effects of what that 1994 crime bill did to communities of color. He doesn't want to take responsibility for that. And so while he's talking to Black Lives Matter protesters, he's defensive in this position. He's defensive in this position because he's like, wait a minute. The Congressional Black Caucus also wanted this. A lot of black community leaders were calling for stronger action, and we wanted more enforceable policing. We wanted these people off of the streets. We got 13-year-olds planning their own funerals. That shit sounds kind of, I don't remember that shit. And I grew up in the 90s. I was a kid in the 90s. Like, those were my teenage years in the 90s. I don't know too many 13-year-olds who are planning their own fucking funerals or whatever. But that's neither here nor there. But the point of the matter is Bill Clinton refuses to take responsibility for the negative effects that the 1994 crime bill had on communities of color. He refused to take responsibility for that. And then he came back later on talking about how, we were talking past one another and I almost want to apologize. Like, nah, man, fuck you with that. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, this was an opportunity for you to take some accountability. Which is what we ask for everybody, right? I remember when Black Lives Matter was when they first started up going to these rallies, when it came to Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders, and then there was the actions against Bernie Sanders in Seattle, and and folks were talking about, yeah, man, why they fucking with Bernie Sanders? Why they always talking to Bernie Sanders? He's the one that's closest to what they need to do, and they always heckling Bernie Sanders. They won't go to Trump rallies and shit and do that. Then they started going to Trump rallies. Well, that's what they get. Why would they go to a Trump rally? Why would they always they need to get punched in the face? Why they going there stirring up all that trouble? Then they go to a Hillary Clinton rally. Yeah, see, what was y'all expecting? What was y'all expecting? Now, Hillary Clinton, she had y'all locked up. Hillary Clinton was pumping up that damn 1994 crime bill. Like, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, to its critics, man, they can't do nothing right. But at the end of the day, Black Lives Matter has been making it a point to make every last one of these fucking candidates accountable for the shit that they say. That's what Black Lives Matter has been doing in this political cycle, making everybody accountable for the shit that they say, whether that be Bernie Sanders, whether that be Donald Trump, whether that be Hillary and Bill Clinton. They've gone after pretty much all of the major candidates at this point. Before, everybody was mad that they were going at Bernie Sanders because everybody thought Bernie Sanders was this great black savior, right? But now, no, they're going up against everybody, and they're holding all of these motherfuckers accountable for the shit that they say and the things in which they want to bring attention to. In this case, the 1994 crime bill and how those mass incarceration rates affected communities of color. So Bill Clinton doesn't want to take any responsibility for the fact that his bill affected communities of color in a disproportionately negative way. Doesn't want to take responsibility for that. Now, we can go back and we can all say that, yeah, like, at the time, it sounded like it probably was the best thing to do because people were desperate to find out, hey, we got to find a solution to this. But then when you have, when you're 20 years removed from the signing of that bill, and then you have 20 years to look back on it and see what the ramifications of that bill were, hey, man, you can look it back like, okay, we probably could have done some things a bit different. We see the results of this. Let's not repeat this. Let's not go back and have this happen again. But that's not what Bill Clinton is saying. Bill Clinton is like, yeah, I signed it, and I signed it because everybody wanted me to sign it. And what else would you call these people? And all these other things. It's like, come on, man, you fucking up. And, that was his bill. Bill Clinton, that was his bill. The 1994 crime bill, that was his. He has to own up to that. He has to be held accountable for that. unfortunately, like for his wife, she's probably the one that's going to bear the brunt of his accountability when it comes to this. You know, especially if he can't, if she can't speak to or clean up some of the things that Bill Clinton has said when it comes to this particular exchange, she may find herself in a much tighter battle for the Democratic nomination than she's involved in right now. You know, so yeah, man, Bill Clinton stepped his mouth. You know, he stepped in it. Like, the whole thing about Bill Clinton being the first black president, I think, you know, that shit is kind of rubbed off after 8 years of Obama. But yeah, man, like it's one of those things, man, where accountability kind of escapes people. It's almost like the Donald Trump thing. Donald Trump doesn't want to take any type of responsibility or accountability for any wrong action or thing he may have said. And Bill Clinton kind of fell into that whole trap. He didn't want to take accountability or be held responsible for any of the things that he'd done or said that negatively affected communities of color, man. So, yeah, man, it's interesting to see Bill Clinton getting into it with Black Lives Matter. And I don't think that's the fight that they really want, especially with Hillary Clinton being that's like her firewall right there. Black voters is Hillary Clinton's firewall when it comes to fighting off the challenge that is Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders has been having trouble connecting to African-American voters. So, yeah, man, Bill Clinton kind of stepped his shit. He kind of stepped into shit, man. Real talk. Yeah, we kind of moving real fast on here, aren't we? But let's move on. Another thing that's going on, man. Ray Lewis also kind of stepped into it when it came to the Black Lives Matter movement. And I've got this video. I'm going to play this entire video, so I want you guys to bear with me. I'm going to play this entire 9-minute sermon of Ray Lewis going in on Black Lives Matter, and then I'm gonna talk about it. All right, this is a 9-minute video. Bear with me. We're gonna go through this shit together. yeah, we're gonna listen to this shit together, and I'm gonna come back and we're gonna dissect this shit. Hold on, here we go.
I found myself back in my prayer room. I find my spirit very disturbed. While everybody's preparing for the Final Four March Madness, things that ran in the newspapers have disturbed me. I'm trying to figure out if black lives really matter. Then in Chicago alone, the murder rate has soared 72% in 2016. 88% in the first 3 months of 2016 compared to last year. I'm trying to ask the question if to the organization of black lives, if they really mattered, then why not riot now? There was 141 murders this year, 82 murders last year at the same time. I'm trying to figure out in my mind why no one is paying attention to black men killing black men. Why we always find ourselves as the victims. And now we have the separation once again that we're being victimized because of one bad white cop, two bad white cops, three bad white cops kill a young black brother. But every day we have black on black crime killing each other. Police in Chicago reported 677 shootings this year. Last year it was 359. March murder rate rose by 29%. But we're not rioting in the streets when black on black crime are killing each other. I'm trying to figure out how the month of March, there's more murders in the month of March in Chicago than there are days in the month. 45 murders in the month of Chicago. There was 271 shooting incidents. I'm trying to stop to ask this one simple thing. When will we appreciate who we are? When will our skin color start paying attention to our own skin color? When will we stop crying that Black Lives Matter? Because God says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am creator of all. And all come up under me with my spirit, which means color means nothing. I am king. I will live as king. But we have found our way distracted. We found our way distracted because things we're not paying attention to. The murders in 2015 and 2016, just the comparisons to Chicago should be sad enough. 2015, there was 34 murders. 2016, there was 45. From January 1st to March 31st, there was 82 murders. In 2015, there was 141 in 2016. Let's just talk about the shootings. The shootings in 2015, there was 179. 2016, there was 271. January 1st to March 31st, the shootings alone. 2015, there was 359. 2016, it was 677. The shooting victims in 2015, it was 204. In 2016, it's 319. From January 1st to March 31st, it was 411 in 2015. The 677 murders in 2016. And I'm trying to ask, what's the problem? I was asked if I was an elected official, what would I do to stop some of this violence? I would put barrels on each corner and I would give you 30 days to drop all illegal weapons in these barrels. And if you found yourself going outside of that, the moment I found you with them, that's 25 years mandatory. There's no more having conversations, because what's starting to happen now is we're starting to confuse our kids. Our kids don't know which way to walk the streets. We got babies in Baltimore being shot in the middle of the streets. They're on their front porch and they're being shot. We got a family of 5 to 6 sitting in the backyard having a barbecue, and the whole entire family gets executed. But we keep screaming, Black Lives Matter. If they really matter, then let's do ourselves a favor. Let's stop killing Black folks. Let's take it way back to when we once was understood what slavery was all about. Slavery was about togetherness, and understand that we must overcome together. Not that we must separate ourselves to highlight our skin color. If you want to highlight our skin color, highlight the people that's doing the successful things in the communities that we should be highlighting. And it ain't all athletics. Athletics come a dime a dozen. But the impact of your journey and the things that we're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be leaving an impact to change people's lives. One day God won't ask how many Super Bowls I won, how many tackles I made, or how many interceptions I have. He will ask the simple question, how many lives have I changed? Oh, I comfort zone must be disturbed. We got music now that kids can't listen to with their parents. We got rated R shows that's showing things that kids have a way. Social media has took us way beyond where we're supposed to be. We've dumbed the long-term thinking in our minds. We've let kids now dictate what they can do and who they can be and what they will ultimately be. I found myself disturbed. Whether I'm right or wrong, there's facts, there's numbers. Men and women lie, but numbers don't. Numbers don't lie. And what's going on in Chicago right now, if you write music, change your thought process, change your language. Stop insulting women. We all got our struggles. There's nothing about me that's perfect. I'm a struggling man every day of my life to walk the right path. I haven't figured it all out yet, but I figured out enough to say that there's something that I'm supposed to pass along that don't go through my same struggles. Let's write something different. Let's give these lost children something to really envision. I cried today to say I'm not a perfect man, and I have my failures just like anyone else. But I guess the question is, are you helping or are you serving? You can help anybody. You can give your money away to help any cause, but to serve, to serve, you must come out of your comfort zone. There's too many brothers killing each other. And brothers, if I had one message for you, man, stop and check the pulse of the person before you pull a trigger and realize that they are alive. And everybody you hurt, you will be accounted for. Man, I'm talking about, man, foolish people on social media, the things that they say, that's pure ignorance. Evil exists. Social media has become the devil's playhouse because it has foolish, ignorant people who can hide behind captions of children and pictures and funny things and insult people who's actually doing something. But one day we will all be held accountable. And brothers, if nobody else won't scream to you, I'm going to scream to you. I know Black Lives Matter because I'm a black man. But man, stop killing each other. Man, we got to put these guns down in Chicago. Baltimore, Miami, man, it ain't that hard, man. Man, you got to be okay with earning the right living, man. It ain't supposed to be easy. Man's days on this earth will be short and filled with trouble. But right now, man, we're losing the battle. A third of the Afro-American population is behind bars. 50% are behind bars because they took the life of another black man. Sooner or later, black men, if we don't change what we're doing, not only will our kids not have a future, but we might find ourselves extinct.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Ray Lewis, can you guys hear me? I had to turn my mic down. But Ray Lewis is an ass hat of the week this week, right? For that. And yeah, I know some of you guys may be like, man, why? But Span, like, why would Ray Lewis be an ass hat of the week when he's just trying to give out a positive message to African-American males about taking responsibility for the actions in which they participate in? And this is what you talk about all the time, Span. Accountability. It's what you talk about all the time. And here's Ray Lewis talking about accountability for black people in the hood. Right? So why is Ray Lewis an ass hat this week? And I'm going to tell you why. I listened to that video, and my soul was disturbed. I listened to that video, and I watched a passionate man spit out things that he clearly does not understand. I watched that video, and I listened to a man denigrate a community of people. Now, you may say he did not denigrate anybody. You may say that. But I'm saying he's denigrating by erasure. And we talked about erasure a couple weeks ago when we was talking about Bernie Sanders and the Bernie made me white hashtag. We talked about erasure. We're talking about the erasure of the work that's going on in Chicago right now to battle black on black crime. And so when I listen to a Ray Lewis get on his webcam in the comfort of his home and talk about us being uncomfortable, getting out of our comfort zone, I get a little bothered. I get a little bothered when I see a man who has erased the abilities of a lot of people who have put in the work to battle black on black crime in the face of everybody saying they ain't did it. My soul is disturbed. My soul is disturbed because I'm from Chicago. I've been on those Chicago streets. I know the results of what happens in Chicago. I know how the streets can take away somebody who loves you. Just a few months ago, cousins of mine was shot at in Chicago. Just a few months ago, people around my grandma's house were shot and killed in Chicago. I know what's going on in Chicago. I got people who live there right now who post on Facebook every day about what's going on in Chicago. But you know what? Do you know what? I also know that there are people who are working every day to alleviate what's going on in Chicago. I think about the ceasefire initiative that's going on in Chicago that doesn't get the media coverage that Ray Lewis thinks doesn't happen, right? Ray Lewis don't think that happens. Nobody's doing shit in Chicago. Nobody wants to do anything about what's going on in Chicago. People mad at the police, and we need to be mad at each other. People ain't doing what they supposed to do. People in this no snitching. People don't want to tell what the hell's going on. People don't want to hold themselves accountable for what's going on in the neighborhoods. Nobody wants to do it. Let Ray Lewis tell it. See, I know in the city of Chicago, or better yet, the state of Illinois, Governor Rauner has gutted social programs in the city that actually fund the programs that help alleviate the actions that are going on in Chicago. I know that at one point in time, the Interrupters in Chicago had a $4.7 million grant that was taken away from them by the governor of the state of Illinois. Then nobody's talking about it after a 20% increase in shootings have happened in the city of Chicago since that grant was taken away. Nobody wants to talk about that. I know Ray Lewis wants to talk about black on black crime and how we can ask for respectability and how can we expect anybody to respect us if we don't respect each other. It's a tired and it's an unoriginal ass argument. I'm sick of you dumb motherfuckers getting on your goddamn webcams from whatever the fuck you are at and don't even take the time to get up on your computer and pull up the fucking Google and find out what the hell is going on in Chicago. I'm tired of you dumb motherfuckers getting on your goddamn podcast, getting on your fucking YouTube, getting on whatever the fuck it is that you use and spitting this same racist bullshit against your own goddamn people. I'm sick of you dumb motherfuckers talking shit about you don't know what the hell is going on in Chicago. How come I don't see Black Lives Matter in Chicago? How come I don't see Black Lives Matter when my cousin got shot down? How come I don't see Black Lives Matter when a little boy gets shot in the hood? How come you ain't trying to find out where the hell these people are when they in your city and when they are doing those exact same things that you say Black Lives Matter ain't doing? Where the fuck are you when the things that are you saying aren't happening? Where are you? Where are you? I don't see your ass at the Black Lives Matter rally either. I don't see your ass out here telling nobody, hey, put the guns down. You know why? It don't take no fucking courage. It don't take nothing to get on your computer and talk all the shit you want. It don't take you no damn courage at all to get on your damn computer and say what somebody else ain't doing. It don't take you no fucking effort at all to sit up and say that, hey, I don't see you. I'ma tell you something right now. Just because you ain't see it, don't mean the shit ain't being done. Just because you ain't see it, don't mean the work ain't happening. Just because you ain't see it, don't mean nobody's putting forth the effort. But fuck you, because you believe that just because your ass ain't see it, nobody's doing nothing. Fuck you when you go out here and you repeat these same racist motherfucking talking points against your own goddamn people. Fuck you for sitting up. Oh my God, I ran out of my goddamn breath. Whew. Y'all got me hollering up in here. Gonna have my neighbors complaining and shit. I can't tell you how often I see these same type of respectability politics posts put up all the time. Mostly by uninformed motherfuckers. Niggas that don't know what's going on and don't want to take the time and the effort to find out what's going on. They want to shout down the people who are trying to hold those elected officials accountable. And then they don't want to take the time, the 1.5 seconds it takes to say, okay, Google, or hey, Siri, when was the last time Black Lives Matter protested this issue? How about I go out here and find out who are the people who are actively interrupting things going on in my neighborhood? How about I try to find out what the ceasefire initiative is doing in my city, in my town, in my community? How about I take the time to find out what I can do instead of talking about what people ain't doing? How about I take the time to put up the effort to talk to some of these brothers and sisters in the same way I'm talking to the people who are trying to put in the work? I'm sick of seeing this dumb shit happening far too often. We have no excuse for being ignorant to the fact that people are doing this type of work every goddamn day and they don't get on the news. If it ain't on the news, it didn't happen. And then these same motherfuckers talk about how the news is brainwashing everybody. Make up your goddamn minds, you dumb motherfucker, you. Make up your mind. Now, I'm weary. I'm weary of having to have this discussion with my own people every goddamn time. The same motherfuckers talking the same shit, not doing a goddamn thing to change anything. Don't piss on the people doing the work. I'm sick and tired of hearing that type of shit. I'm sick and tired of people saying what somebody else ain't doing when they ain't lifted a goddamn finger to do nothing they fucking self. I'm sick and tired of hearing this shit. I'm sick and tired of black folks putting a black face to a white talking point. Educate your goddamn self. You have no excuse. None whatsoever. I'm weary of talking about it to y'all, you ashy motherfuckers. I'm weary of it. My voice hurts because of it. I know what's going on in Chicago. I've spoken at length as to what's going on in the city of Chicago. It hurts every day when I see somebody from Chicago post something about what happened there. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. But to act as if, because Black Lives Matter are speaking to elected officials to hold them accountable for their role for what's happening in cities like Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Baltimore, that they somehow have abdicated their responsibility for what happens in the inner city, because you aren't aware of the many groups and of the many community initiatives that battle this type of shit every day, some without the funding that they should have. Or when they're used as bargaining chips in a political game, such as the ceasefire initiative and the interrupters in the city of Chicago because of Governor Rauner of Illinois. So I'm going to need Ray Lewis and any of you other motherfuckers who continuously uses respectability bullshit politics talking point to educate your fucking self before you ever let these types of words leave your lips again. Educate yourself on what the fuck is happening. I can point out numbers to you as well. I've done this before. I can think back to in the 90s how it was much worse in the city of Chicago. Not saying that I'm happy with what's going on there now, but it was much worse than it was, than what it is now. So yeah. Yeah, Ray Lewis. You an asshat this week, man.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
That shit got my voice hurting. It's like talking in the Macho Man Randy Savage voice, doing a preacher voice, man. That shit got my voice hurting. yeah, man. But Yeah, Ray Lewis is the ass hat this week because of that. And hopefully you guys can bear with us and you bear through that entire thing, man, real talk. But of course, we don't do an ass hat without having a champ of the week. So we got a champ of the week this week as well. All right, now the champ that we have this week is none other than the homie, Bomani Jones, man. Bomani Jones of ESPN's The Right Time. He's also of The Evening Jones, the podcast, The Evening Jones. I remember becoming aware of Bomani through Rod over at The Black Guy Who Tips, and he had this show called The Morning Jones that was on Sirius Satellite Radio, so we used to kind of listen in on that show, and I called into that show quite a few times, man. A lot of memorable moments with Bomani Jones over on that show as well. And he does a show with Dan Le Batard and Poppy, and I'm drawing a blank as to what the fuck the name of that show is. But yeah, all that withstanding, Bomani Jones was on what was that? Mike and Mike. He was co-hosting on Mike and Mike this morning, and he had a shirt of the Caucasians, which is a play on the Cleveland Indians logo and Chief Wahoo's Cleveland Indians, and it looked very similar to the Indians logo, and it caused a stir on social media. A lot of folks were a bit upset, and some folks just wanted to find out where the hell they could find that shirt, but Bomani had a chance to speak to it with Molly Quarum on Molly's Take, so check this out.
Hey, hey, welcome back into Mike and Mike. Molly Karam here with Bomani Jones from Right Time with Bomani Jones. I am a regular listener, big fan of the show. So we need to address the elephant in the room. Your t-shirt is dominating the social media conversation right now amongst our viewers. What motivated you to wear it?
It was clean. Like, I think number one, the fact that it was clean was a good start. The other part is I really like the shirt. I think it's funny. It's like it's just like the Cleveland Indian shirt, like exactly the same as the Cleveland Indian shirt, with just one small change.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like the money sign there.
I think the money sign is very helpful because people still buy this stuff. Like the reason they won't get rid of Chief Wahoo, which is completely indefensible, is because they can still sell stuff with it. They can say they're going to de-emphasize it, but then they're just going to set money on fire. So yeah, I just thought it was the exact same thing, and I could see the value in the design. So I was like, hey, we might as well give this a run.
I think more thought went into it. I think you were trying to make some kind of statement.
I mean, the statement is obvious. Like, this is the same thing. Like, what we have here, this is the same thing that goes on with the logo for the Cleveland Indians, right? So, like, to have a problem with the logo of this would be to have a problem with the Indians. But if you're quiet about the Indians and now you got something to say about my shirt, I think it's time for introspection. I think that's a fair thing.
You might be lagging in that area, and I want to get into that. So we have the Washington Redskins, Cleveland Indians, Florida State Seminoles. Am I missing any others? Atlanta Braves.
Braves, yeah.
Do you think it's time that there's a change, that ethnicity, skin color, race should not be a team mascot?
Yeah, well, I feel like there's a certain level of nuance, like the Florida State thing with the Seminoles has levels that I don't fully understand. Mm-hmm. But like the tomahawk on the Braves jersey, I grew up rooting for that team. There's no defense for doing that. This, like the Indians logo, there's no defense for doing that. It is... The whole purpose is, well, why would you make these people a mascot? Well, it's based on the stereotypes that we've had of them in the past. So what would be the justification for keeping them with a need? And then Washington, where it's just a slur, a flat-out slur.
Where'd you get the shirt?
I got it somewhere online. I'm not exactly sure. If you check my Twitter mentions, the guys who make this shirt definitely want you to know that they did. They're in there somewhere.
Okay, and do they make others with political sports statements as well?
I think they do. But I've not. I just saw the one.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go.
And it caught your eye. You had your eye on the prize. Bomani, appreciate you explaining that. Thank you so much.
Thank
PJ
you.
Carlissimo, we'll be...
All right. Bomani Jones is the champ this week, and he makes a very interesting point. He makes a very valid point. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, man, is like... The reaction that Bomani Jones got pretty much everyone who reacted to Bomani Jones' shirt in a negative way kind of proved his point. Like, I couldn't tell you how many times, like, even on what was that, Fox Sports, where I'm watching people try to white-splain why it's okay for them to use this. And it was one guy that I actually interacted with where he was talking about, well, if the majority of Native Americans don't have a problem with it, then nobody else should have a problem with it either. And it's like, well, dude, do you know the majority of Native Americans? Like, well, if you don't know the majority of Native Americans, then you can't say that nobody else should have an issue with it. And even if that were so, like, are you also saying that the only Native Americans whom you've seen talk about this on media publications have a right to say anything, and only those who agree with you are the ones who should be listened to when it comes to this particular issue? So yeah, man, Bomani Jones, without much effort, had a lot of people talking, man. Had a lot of people talking, and brought attention to a very pertinent issue. And for that, man, Bomani Jones is the champ of the week for the Span Report, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, short show this week. I don't have any listener feedback. No listener feedback this week. So we're gonna get ready to cut on out of here. But before I do, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course I'll play them and respond to them here on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read them and reply to them here on the show, just like always. You can also chop it up with me here on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span on both of those platforms. Hit me up. Throughout the week, we can chop it up, man. Some people I'm getting a little bit more followers lately, and I appreciate it. Yeah. You can also go to iTunes and Stitcher, man. Give your boy a review, preferably 5 stars, man. I very much appreciate it. Let people know what it is you're thinking about the show. You guys really don't know how much that helps the Span Report grow, man. So go ahead, go to Stitcher and or iTunes, leave a 5-star review, man, and I very much appreciate it. Also, you can donate to the Span Report at thespanreport.com. Hit that donate tab on thespanreport.com and donate to the show, man. Whatever you can give, it's always appreciated. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com and get your Span Report fixed there. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I got to get out of here, man. My voice is tired. I know you guys can hear it. But, yeah, man, I'll talk to you guys soon, man. So until next time, fam, peace.